Welcome to the Monday Study. This is Practical Apologetics Session 1. You can get more information by going to themondaystudy.com or themondaystudy.org, and you can find more information about other classes there as well. God bless.
Something? Isn't the Bible written by men anyway? Can you trust something? It's just written by a bunch of old Jews. right? So there's so many times you get all these translations, you get all these different religions, you get all these different Christian churches, and nobody's right. So who's right? How do you answer that? You ask. So we want to be able to give you the tools, because once we get done, hopefully, Lord willing, you will have some tools and an understanding that will help answer your questions too. And you will be able to articulate an answer that makes sense both to you and to someone else. Because the Christian faith is logical. You don't have to check your brain at the door in order to be a Christian. It is logical, it is relevant, and it is true. And you can prove it. That's what we do. So he says, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you, and an answer, by the way, this is a great word here, to give them an answer. The word here is logos. It's translated in several different ways, but in this context, it means a logical answer. Isn't that interesting? Give them a logical answer. So if someone says, why are you a Christian? Because he makes me feel good. And they say, he doesn't make me feel good, so he must not be good. Your Christianity is not based on how you feel. And if you say, well, he makes me feel, maybe he does make you feel well. That's part of being a Christian. But that's not an answer to something. You need to give him a logical answer. I believe in Christ because I trust the Bible, and I trust the Bible because of how we got the Bible. And we trust the Bible because it has proven itself to be a message from outside of time and space. How did it do that? It did it through predictive prophecy. It is the only holy book in the whole world that predicts things in advance. It has been right up to this point 100% of the time. And if it can predict something that's thousands of years in the future and predict a lot of them, and it's continually right, you might begin to think that this is a message from outside our three-dimensional space. No other book can find that. So I believe it. I trust it. I'm going to get it going. So as we go through this, we're going to talk about tonight just some of the questions, how questions come, give you some tools to understand how to deal with some questions in general. And then we're going to start talking next week about, does God exist? How do you answer the question? I don't believe in God. How do you know he even exists? Have you ever talked to God? You ever show up and say, hi? Oh, God. He has an English accent. Have you ever talked to him? Have you ever seen him? How do you know God exists? Can you give a good argument for the existence of God without opening the Bible and says what the Bible says? Yes, you can. In fact, you can give the very best argument. There it is. We'll get into that next week. And then we're going to talk about the Bible, why you can trust it, where did it come from, what about all these translations, is it really written by men, how can we know that God actually spoke to us? Talk about Christianity. As opposed to other religions. We say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by him. You know, that's pretty explicit. And for some people, that's pretty narrow-minded. We're going to talk about that. What makes Christianity different, and why does it stand apart from everything else? And then finally, we'll talk about those who are Christians, but in name only, and are basically cults, and they pervert the Christian gospel. We're going to talk about Mormon doctrine, not a lot. We're going to talk about Jehovah's Witnesses doctrine, not a lot. But we're going to do enough so that you understand when they knock at your door and they begin to talk to you, you have some tools to deal with it. You'll have some answers.
God is all-powerful, then he's not good. And what they're saying is that if God is good, then he would stop all of the evil that goes on in the world. But since he can't stop all of the evil that's going on in the world, then he is not all-powerful. And that's a question. It's an if-then question buried in a statement. What they're saying is if God's good, he'd stop everything. There's a reason he does not. We'll find out when we get to the nature of God. There is a doctrine that man has fallen in evil and betrayed. The heart is desperately wicked, says in Jeremiah. Who can know it? And there is a point to where we cause our own problems. And God is not willing or able to violate his own nature, to come and override your free will. God will never override your free will. So there's a lot of if, then, questions. You'll hear that. There's also some presupposition. I promise not to use these big words, but Linda said this is okay. Presupposition, what it means is they have what we say in law, when you go to the court of law, they say that there are facts that are not in evidence. In other words, they assume that this is true, and then they stick it on you and make you deal with it, and so it's a false premise. What they've said is X equals 2, and X really doesn't equal 2, but because of that, they go through this whole argument, and pretty soon you're left with trying to explain something which has no foundation in fact. This is very common. It's also called a straw man argument, if you know what that is. A straw man is when you make up something which is not true, and then they go about to tear it down in front of you. Just like this last statement. If God is good, then he wouldn't allow evil in the world. Look at all the evil in the world. People are killing each other. There's all kinds of terrible things happening to innocent people. They go on and on and on, and you're supposed to answer them. But the whole premise of the question is wrong. They have given you the straw man. They've torn it down in front of you and say, see, look, your argument is a piece of it. It's a presupposition. Now, turn over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. We're going to see how the master deals with presupposition questions. Matthew chapter 22. To set the stage here, this is the last week before the crucifixion, and Jesus is dealing with the different rulers. He's dealt with the lawyers, he deals with the Sadducees here, and he deals with the Pharisees. Each one of them come at him with questions. They come at him with questions that they have been pondering as a group for generations, because there's no answer to it. And so they've decided that they're going to stick Jesus with these non-answerable questions so that they can make a fool out of him. It didn't work. Okay. So down in chapter 22, beginning in verse 23, let me just read through this and then come back. Verse 23 says, the same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. That is in law. If you marry a wife and you pass away, then your brother is supposed to take her as his wife if you have no children, so that the children can be raised up in your name and you have offspring. Verse 25, here's the hypothetical, which leads to the question. Now, there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also. The third, even to the seventh. The last of all, the woman died also. After seven husbands, I don't. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her to be wife. This is a false premise. They have given Jesus a question based on a wrong premise and basis. Remember what it says at the beginning. They don't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in miracles, angels, or the resurrection. The Sadducees only believed in the first five books of the Bible, which is the books of Moses. The rest of them, they didn't believe in. Just those first five books. And nowhere in there could they find anything to talk about. They didn't believe in it, and so now they're going to get Jesus. This woman, this hypothetical, the woman is married, her husband dies, and then these seven brothers continue to marry her, no children. They all says is, God didn't say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That means present tense now. Because if they were not going to be raised or were not raised from the dead, he would have said, I was their God, but they're gone. He didn't say that. He says, I am their God. Today, they are alive before God. Another presuppositional, I love this one. This is one you probably heard. All roads lead to God. All religions have some of the truth, right? They say, look, God is like this, he's like at the top of the mountain. And all of these different pathways lead to the top of the mountain. All of these different religions come up a different way, but they all end up at the same place, at the peak of the mountain, with God. And so all roads lead to God. Isn't that beautiful? Are you going to fall for that? What's wrong with that analogy? God this comes down to, and you'll hear this, and I'm not going to hammer this too much. I just want you to be aware of it because it may come up. This all kind of boils down to something called a syllogism. Syllogism is just a tool that you use for logical argument. And a syllogism used correctly is very useful. But what you want to look for is people who use logical arguments incorrectly. Remember, I talked about a false premise, and you know, pretty soon you have to try and prove something that's not provable because the premise is wrong. Here's a syllogism. It has three parts. It has the two premises, the major and the minor premises, then it has a conclusion. Here's a syllogism. All cows drink milk. All right? Now, we know that because we go out and we check all these cows. That's gathering facts. And we realize, look, that cow's drinking milk. And so it's happening. And then we get all of our friends to go check the dairies and the farms. And they all come back and I say, every cow we've ever seen drinks milk. And after a while, you get all these facts. And so you put it together. That is a fair assumption. So your first premise is all cows drink milk. Great. Got it. Then we do the next one. Hey, look, I got this cow. Her name is Bessie. I just bought her. I have not seen her drink milk, but because we know that all cows drink milk, and Bessie's a cow, I can conclude logically that Bessie can drink milk. And see, that is a valid syllogism for lots of reasons we won't get into. That's valid. But see, you can take what sounds logical. Beware of this. Someone can take something that sounds logical and use that same approach, and it can be completely wrong because they have done it wrong and they've given you a false premise. Let me give you an example. Same thing. All cows drink milk. John drinks milk. John's a cow. Doesn't that sound logical? It's fair. They've done all the logic. They've come through with it. What's the problem? The problem is they forgot and they assumed that God's a cow. All cows drink milk. John drinks milk. That doesn't mean that John is a cow because he drinks milk. Because they just said all cows do. And so it's a logical fallacy. And this will happen to you. People will take you down the primrose path and they'll try and tell you something. Just be aware of the fact that listen to what they're saying and realize, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. It's like that all roads lead to the summit of the mountain, right? God's not a mountain and not all roads lead there. Okay. Every answer to every question resides in the truth. The truth answers every question. Remember this. Jesus said, I am. When it gets down to it, he answered every question as I heard him, and we'll get to that later on. Okay, just a couple more minutes. Let's talk about the truth. Anybody ever tell you, well, that's your truth? What's true?